I'm going to be looking at three different things. I'm going to jam the first two at you kind of quick. It's how we speak, what God says, and what Christ says. And so I'm just going to hit the first two, and then I really want to dwell on what Christ is saying to us. And everything I'm going to say, every one of you have heard 100 times, I'm sure. But I just like to repeat it to get it off my heart, because it all applies to me. When I do this Bible search, it's always like, I'm the one, here we go. Something I got to learn again, and I find myself in the middle of what I'm reading, which is always good to know that, as Paul said earlier, he's with us every day. Just not today, not on Sundays. Every day I need him. So let's pray. Lord, we thank you this morning for this nice rain we're having, and I ask that you rain your spirit upon us in this word, that we see you, and that's what it's about, a relationship with Christ. And we thank you. In Christ's name, amen. All right. I was reading along in Matthew 26. I'm going to be on a lot of different scriptures, but I was reading Matthew 26, and it's talking about when Peter is denying Christ, and he goes along, and you know, and he denies him, and he says, "No, I don't want to be, you know, I don't know him. I'm no part of him. I'm, you know, no part of him," and all that. And he keeps saying it, and I got thinking about, here's Peter denying Christ, and he'd been around him through so many things, you know, like the miracles he saw, you know, and the different things, the healings that he saw. And here's Peter hanging around, actually walking on the earth with Christ. And he was doing all that. Then he was denying him, right? And he kept denying him. He said he'd deny him three times, right? And then finally, in verse 73, 26:73, and after a while, they stood by and said to Peter, "Surely you are one of them," even though he's been denying him, right? "Because your speech betrayed you." And that's what it was. When I read that, right? "Your speech betrayed you." I don't know what that one says. Is that a King James version?
"Your talk."
Yeah, it betrayed you, right? And then so some people think it was from their accent or what they were saying. But here is Peter. He's actually denying him. And he's denying him, and he can't even get away from the denial. And I thought, wow, he's walking with Christ so much. I don't believe in him. I don't believe in him. They go, "Yeah, you do. Your speech is betraying you. Look how you act." Christ had rubbed off on him so much he couldn't even deny him right. And I thought, what a spot. You know what I mean? He is so faithful. Christ is so faithful. When we deny him, he still shines through. And I went, that's all I need to know. Right there. And that's where I started this whole thing at. Wow, my speech betrayed me. And they were saying, they knew who he was, but his speech betrayed him. So I started, I'll take you on my little thought process so we can get to where we got to go. And then I got thinking about, in Genesis, it talks about one language and one speech. And then there's this, you know, Tower of Babel comes along. And everybody's speaking all kinds of languages. So they couldn't understand each other and all that kind of stuff. And I want to say something about my mom with all that. When she was, we lived on Long Island. I know I've said this before. She took 6 months to teach a kid how to say one word. And I never forget it. I was hoping Miss Hope would be sitting here. She'd probably remember where it was. But I can remember her doing that. And it was one of her things she would talk about. Man, it took me 6 months to teach that kid. It was, of course, a severe handicapped child. But she didn't give up on him. And Mom kept doing that. And then Mom always worked on me. I'm the worst speller. And you guys know Mom talked English literature, actually, in college and stuff. Right? And she used to try to get me. I would say, "I sweat a lot." Mom would say, "You're supposed to say, perspire profusely. Perspire profusely." And I'd say it like 10 times, and the next thing you know, I'm back to sweating a lot, right? But there was my mom's influence, you know. And it was, then you go into Colossians, and it talks about let your speech, you know, be always with grace, you know, and be, you know, those kind of things. Let me read it. "Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt." And anybody that's been around me a while knows it don't come across really good a lot of times, and I say things, you know, and the next day I'm reading that and I'm going, well, I'm in trouble. And I got it written down here because I knew I'm in the middle. I got to be talking with seasoned salt and I got to be nice. I knew I'm going to be aggravated. And I talked to somebody that following day after reading this, and And I talk to them on the phone, and I get where I'm going, and they go, Rick, why were you yelling? I said, I wasn't yelling. I was just asking questions. You know, I didn't know that I was yelling. Man, that wasn't very nice. I was wondering if you were mad at me. I go, no, I'm not mad. I'm just asking, you know. No seasoned salt there, you know. No kindness of words, as the scripture would say, to try to handle people, you know. And I'm thinking, I knew I shouldn't be reading these because I'll be in a jam. So words of wisdom, it talks about, you know, God has words of wisdom. And you could tell, and I started looking at, it says people with words of wisdom and they're following God's character. And the words of the world are madness and craziness and all this kind of stuff. I thought, well, we're living right in here, aren't we? Every day we see all this stuff going. It's not hard to tell where God's wisdom is and where it isn't. Just listen to the madness, listen to the goodness, listen to the grace, those kind of things. So it's an easy separation. Is God in it or God not in it? It's not a hard fix to try to find that. I will speak of the testimonies before God and will not be ashamed. Are you there? I'm talking about myself. When I'm reading this, I'm going, could I do that? Could I stand up before people and not be ashamed, even if they know who I am or how I am or where I've been or anything like that? Can I do it? Can I testify before him if you get a chance to speak? So those are things I start looking at, that how affects us. You know, things that I need to probably do. And I thought, I can't talk about that. I'm the worst guy to tell you guys to go try to be kind, to be nice. And Kathy knows how nice I am. And, you know, say the right words, you know. But here's the scripture that I really like that I found. For it is not ye that speak, but the Spirit of your Father which speaketh in you. And I'm going, here we go, right? Let's get away from where I got to do, right? Because I'm going to fail. Rick Baker's going to fail. If you want me to be seasoned salt all the time and do that, I'm going to try to do the right things, but I'm going to be aggravated. But that's in 10:9, Matthew 10:9, I think, or 10:20 or something. But I want to say that again, because the Father, the Spirit of your Father which speaks in you. And I got thinking, that is good if we could use this, but the whole point is that he's dwelling within you. That seemed to be more important than what I was saying, because if he's dwelling within me, the King of Kings, the Creator of all, who spoke everything into existence, wants to live within Rick Baker, wants to live within my heart, wants me to share. And I start looking at it from that angle. Wow, Christ, oh, that's great. I'll speak the words of the Father, but he wants to dwell within me. And it started touching my heart that with my rough talk and the way I deliver things sometimes, he still wants to live in us, doesn't he, Jay? You know, he wants to live in your heart. So those are the things like that. In 2 Peter, there was a voice that came from heaven. They heard his voice, you know. They heard his voice. I'm going to jump all over the place. In Exodus 3 and 4, out of the bush, he says, here I am. Here's God talking to Moses. Here I am. Here I am. Now we have him talking, right? And I thought that's amazing, because another part I always like, it's not on here, that Moses ended up being buried by God. He spoke to him, then he gets to be buried by God. How about that? He didn't miss out, did he? I think about that. And he even gives instructions. Take off your shoes because this is holy ground. He's even speaking, telling him this is holy ground. Different things, right? But in Matthew 17:5, a voice of the cloud, this is my beloved son, who I am well pleased. Hear ye him. So now we start looking at, we see that God is saying who to listen to. God is saying, right? I'm not saying it. I'm not doing it. I'm standing here telling you what the scripture says. So you either believe the scriptures or you don't. God is saying, here is my son. This is him. And I read it over and over and over. I know it's simple to read, but he's saying, hear ye him. Listen to Christ. And I go, well, God's saying that. That's a great point, you know. And after Jesus was baptized, the heavens were open, right? And like a dove descending, and a voice from heaven saying, here's my beloved son. And what's he say? Whom I am well pleased with. There's the I am again. I'm going, wow, he's the I am in the bush. He's the I am. Here he is. I am well pleased. This is God speaking about his son. You can choose to believe it or not believe it. And that was the point. And I got scriptures on that, that they have that some other people gave me. Right? And it even talks about the Holy Spirit. About being careful about, you can say what you want, it says here. speak against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven you. But be careful how you speak about the Holy Spirit. I thought that was incredible. How we blaspheme him or turn him away or do things. And I thought, why is that? Why is that so important? We can say bad things about Christ, but don't mess with the Holy Spirit. Well, that's an odd thing to me. I would think, don't mess with Christ. He's the one who died on the cross for us, right? But that's what it says. It says to be careful with that. Then I started reading why. Why would he say that? Why would they say, don't mess with the Holy Spirit? Well, when the Spirit of truth has come, he will guide you into all truth. The Holy Spirit's going to guide you into truth. What's he going to guide you into? He's going to guide you into Christ. Right? And it even says, so that don't knock the Holy Spirit, because he's the one that's going to guide us in to him. He's going to be the one. He's going to guide us. It's not, and it says in John 16:14, the Holy Spirit will what? Glorify Christ. So God said, this is my Son who I am well pleased. Hear ye him. Listen to him. The Holy Spirit says, we shall glorify Christ. So we have the Holy Spirit and God. Where are they pointing us? Right into Christ. Right into him. Right into him. And it's not just because it's the thing to do. It's not like, I'm not saying this scripture. Once again, I want to back that up with saying, it's not me just saying it. I have the verses. And when I kept reading that, I'm going, wow, that's pretty wild. We need something firm to stand on. Somebody, how do you know it's true? Well, either we believe the Bible or we don't believe the Bible. And I believe the Bible. Not just because it's written, but because it's changed my life. It's not just because I wrote this and I believe that. Mom and Dad said believe it, you know, and you all know my parents, right? And they gave us a choice. When I was 15, my dad said, you don't have to go to church anymore if you don't want. If you're not going to participate, I don't want you to sit in there. I know some people don't agree with that. My kid's going no matter what. They better be in church. Don't play church, he said. Never play church. My dad told me a statement. Now he's not around. I'm allowed to tell stuff on him. There's some testimonies he didn't want me to share of my life when Mom was alive. Because he didn't want me to embarrass her. That's incredible, isn't it? Don't share them things till your mom's not around. I don't want you to embarrass your mom. No matter what the Lord's done in your life, don't embarrass your mother. Isn't that amazing? True stuff. My dad would say, Rick, we're so arrogant. We're so arrogant. God forgives us the sins we don't even know we commit. God said, and it is so. Listen to Christ. What is Christ saying? The Holy Spirit is saying, glorify Christ. I will lead you into all truth. And truth is in him. It's in Christ. He's in the business of a relationship. It's not about how religious I look or how good I look or what I do or anything like that. It has nothing to do. It's about he wants a personal relationship with you. That's what this is all about. That's what he came to do. And God said, let's go to Genesis 1:3. And God said, let there be light. And what? There was. God said, let there be the firmament in the midst of the water. And it divided it. And in verse 7 it says, and it was so. God said it. And it's so. And I think of those things in the earth. But think about things he's formed in your life. Think about how he's touched your heart. Think about how he's changed that old drunk, huh? That old nasty jerk. How he's taking that old mess and started changing that. How he started moving that stuff around in your life. You know what I mean? He spoke light into it. He spoke Christ into your heart. And that's where it started to change. And God said it, right? And it is so. God said, listen to Christ. Hear ye him. It is so. We need to listen to Christ. Right? In verse 9, Genesis 1:9. It'd go back to the water being divided into one place. It was done. See, ever separated things in your life that no longer, there's some stuff you're going to struggle with. There's no doubt about it. But have you ever had him separate something in your life, taking something out of your life that was there that worried you to death? You were worried to death about it, right? And then all of a sudden, that starts subsiding away. That's Christ speaking to the problem in your heart. I know he created heaven, but he also created us, and he can do that work in our hearts. Now, all this stuff is for me. Everything I'm reading, I'm going, wow, right? In Genesis 1:20, God created the whales and saw it was good, right? And created every living creature, and what did he say? It was so. God did it. He said it. I'm getting to a point of saying that because when he speaks, what happens? It happens. When he speaks, it happens. And I say that, and I'll go back to this. Matthew 17:5. God said, "This is my beloved Son, whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him." God said it. It is so. Listen to Christ. Don't mess with the Holy Spirit because he's going to lead you into all truth. And the truth is in Christ. Okay, then we start looking at what things that Christ was saying. What was Christ doing? What are the things he was doing? Right? And people, which this is Matthew 14:6-20. People which sat in the darkness saw a great light. And to them which sat in the region and the shadow of death, the light is sprung up. You ever had light come on in your life? Have you ever had that light start shining in your life? And I start thinking, wow, have you ever sat in darkness? You ever sat and had rough times? And Catherine, I don't mean to pick on you, but I was thinking about you a little bit with your dad passing away. That light glowing in her. She's one of my best friends sitting right there. She's good to me. Thank you, Catherine. Over the years, Ricky spoke a little too long. That one wasn't too good. I didn't like that one. You know what I mean? That's a friend right there. Doesn't come up all smiles. Yeah, it was good. You know, Catherine, Rick, phew. I got to pick on her. It's the truth, though. Isn't it, Catherine, that light sprung up in us, didn't it? When we had no hope, Christ was the reason why she's carried through losing her father recently. Sprung up in a dark place. Come on. It's not that far-fetched. It's not that far away. He lives within us. Jesus began to say, to preach and say. What did he say? God said, listen to my son. Right? Hear what he's saying. If God says it, it is so. Christ says, repent. That's the next thing he starts talking about repenting. And I want to hit that because if you look it up about repenting, right? What they say in a dictionary, you'd be like this. Oh, God, I repented. I'm all sad. I'm remorseful. I didn't make it. That's what the dictionary says. But what happened when I repented? I cried for 3 months. I couldn't believe I was set free. I was a changed person, not because, and I didn't run out doing crazy stuff and trying to get everybody in. I just couldn't believe that the light had sprung up. Right? And I did. It's the truth. And it started changing my life. Instead of hitting all the clubs and every bar and everything and every habit and everything, tons of stuff. Dropped off. Not because I did anything, because a light sprung up. God said, repent. It is so. When you repent, it happens. It's not just a phrase and then you walk around, oh, I got a Christian life. It's the best life I've ever lived. I live a great life. Better life than I ever lived before, and I've done a lot of stuff. I'm living a better life than ever. Just by saying, it's not what you lose. People think they're going to lose out. They think you're going to lose and they're not going to have anything. It's what you gain. You're gaining when you repent. It's the opposite of what they try to tell you it is. See? There he is. Christ said it. Repent. It is so. Then you can get into the denial that you don't have sin and all that kind of stuff. But the word says if you say you don't have sin, you call the word a liar. Right? So I'll let you all argue with that one. But that's what it says. Right there, John 1:9. We say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. See, can you read that?
Yes. I saw that already.
That's for you. I wrote that right on there with you right on mine. Serious, I did. I think about all of you. When I prepare at home, I think about where you sit. I think about stuff. I've thought about Catherine all week. My heart has been right with her. I thought about you. I did. I wanted to do that intentionally. So I could slow myself down. I was like, slow down. Right? But John said that. And in John, it says that, you know, we can't do that. And if we say we have not sinned, another one in John 1:10. Right? We make him a liar. Uh-oh. Now we're messing with something, aren't we? I'm talking about me thinking about it. I don't have no sin. Come on with me. We'll get down the road. You go, hey, Rick needs some help. And you wonder why I say, every day I need to know? It's easy for me. Christ said it. It is so. But the best part is, right, he has cleansed us. You have been forgiven. Right? Matthew, behold, there was a man sick of palsy, and they get into that about how he, you know, goes to heal him and says your sins and can be forgiven you, and the scribes and everybody give Christ a hard time. You know, and he says, well, I'll show you the man on earth has power. The God, the Son of Man, hath power on the earth to forgive sin. He said it. Also, arise and take up your bed and go. He just said, go do it. Christ said, do it. It was done. Wasn't a question. Wasn't a matter if or not. You know, when Christ spoke to the matter, it was changed. That's the whole point of everything. Christ said it, so it is so. Just like when God created everything, he said it, it is so. Now, you don't have to believe it if you don't want to. That's the beauty of God. It's funny. He doesn't force you into it. But when he starts working on you, you can't deny it. You could be like Peter. No, I deny it. I deny it. You go, no, you can't, Rick. It's all over you. You can't deny it. You can try all you want. Christ still shines through. Did in Peter's case, didn't it? Imagine being that. Being so tuned in that you're denying him and it still shines through. He's that faithful. That's hard to believe. Because if we say we have no sin, right? All right. Christ said it is so. The multitude, when we talk about personal things happening to you, when you get saved, it is for you. But it affects everybody around you. It changes people. Even here it says the multitude saw what had happened and they glorified God. Right? That's Matthew 9:8. Right? And that's what they're saying. After he heals that man and sets him free and everything from his sins, right? It affects people. People see a difference in you. Now, I didn't go around to my family and start telling everybody I'm in church and I'm doing this. I actually didn't know what to do with it. Other than just go to work and do what I got to do. Right? And let's see what happens. Right? My dad didn't talk to me for 3 months. He thought I was up to a con. Thought I had something going. That's a preacher, man, not trusting his own son. That's a bad son, isn't it? That's what they say about preacher's kids, right? But I'm just saying, because he wanted to see. He wanted to see God moving. He didn't want to influence it. That's his real reason when come to find out. He said, I didn't want to touch it. I wanted to see God do the work. Amen. Right? That spirit, that light that sprung up, God said it. It is so. Christ said it. It is so. He said it. And it's just funny. Even one time, Christ went in somewhere to heal a kid, and they all laughed at him. They even laughed at Jesus. And he was there to heal somebody and to raise them from the dead. And they laughed at him. They might laugh at you. Don't back down. Just keep carrying Christ. Just keep walking along. Keep sharing him. No matter what they think of you. It doesn't matter. Because Christ was laughed at. The Christ himself, the one who died on the cross, the Son of God, who God yelled and says, that's my Son, who I am well pleased. Listen to him. Imagine that voice coming out of heaven. We're that voice. We're here to shout that Christ is the answer. Amen. You don't even have to shout it. You can say it quietly anymore. Stuff's starting to rattle, man. Stuff is rattling. Okay, let me do a couple more things and I'll wrap up. But I want you to keep remembering, it's about a relationship. He wants a relationship with you. He wants to spring that light up so you can share it to other people, right? And just share it by living. And then when the troubles come along, when I had a thought just come in my head, when Grant died, his grandparents and all came to me, pray to your God. He will listen. Give us 2 more seconds to get him around that corner, didn't they? Your God will listen. Pray to your God. Didn't ever want to talk about it before. Now all of a sudden, they said, pray to your God. I said, that can't happen. He's gone. But we do have Christ. And we're going to get through it. See what I mean? They'll come. When stuff starts crumbling, they'll go, they'll know that there was a change. I never spoke to them about it. They just all see, well, Rick's not doing all that crazy stuff. What's up with him? All right, now I got to get into it. Let me get into these things. I'll skip some of this. One time when they were fishing, the men were on the fishing boat. They come in and Christ yells over and says, "Do you have any meat?" And they said, "No, we have none." He says, "Go fish on the other side of the boat. Go fish on the right side of the boat." And when they do that, they come back. What's the next thing Christ says? What does he say? He didn't ask them, did you catch any? He says, "Bring your fish." Christ said it. It was so. Go fish on the other side. He didn't have to ask them, "Do you have meat?" the next time. He said, "Just bring your fish." And what's he say? "Come and dine. Come and dine." Christ knew. He had spoken. So therefore, it happens. When Christ speaks to you, things change. Things happen. All through repentance. And just believing in him. It's not a big deal. It's not like you have to do a million things. Believe in him. Ask him to do it. Right? Like the guy, he stuck the... He spit on the ground and rubbed it on him. He said, "Go splash." And you've heard me say that about the Bible. Go in here and look. Splash in here. Get in there and look. You want your eyes open? Get in there and look. And that guy did that, right? And he went over. Christ spoke to it. What happened? I jumped myself. That's the first time I've jumped all day, but I jumped ahead of myself. And he did that, right? But what was it he was saying before that? What was Christ saying just before he did that miracle? "I am the light of the world." So he didn't just say it. He did say it. But then he does a miracle in somebody's life that shows that he is the light of the world. He doesn't just say stuff, right? He has a reaction and it happens. You always hear about people saying, "Well, I'll die for you," or "I'll do this for you. I'll get this done. I'll promise you I'll do this," right? Christ said, "Go and wash. I am the light of the world." Therefore, the guy can start seeing. Has he opened your eyes to anything? Just a difference in your life, different in your thing. Has your driving changed at all, Kevin? I'm picking on him. He says he gets aggravated driving sometimes. I think that's funny. And he doesn't mind. But that's what he did with that guy. So Christ said it, right? He's speaking, "I am the light of the world." He opens a blind man's eyes. More than one he helps see, right? And then Christ says this in John 6:35. "I am the bread of life." Right? So he's opened your eyes, right? He's got a light going inside of you. He's opened your eyes. He's doing this all building relationship. He wants you to trust in him, not trust in man or all kinds of stuff. He's showing you that he can do these things. Now, these are miracles, physical miracles, but he does them spiritually in your heart. Have your eyes been open to a situation that helped you out? When you really said, "Look, man, I don't know what to do here. I need some help." You know what I mean? It could be spiritually. It could be money. It could be work. It could be anything. Ask him about it. Say, "I need help here." Right? And he'll open your eyes when you seek him in all situations. Right? And what did he do just before he said, "I am the bread of life"? He fed 5,000 people. He just gave them bread. Just gave it to them. Just got done doing it. And then he stands up and says, "I'm the bread of life." Well, if I saw the 5,000 people, I'd say, "I'm with that guy." Wouldn't you buy into that? He just did it. Right? He just did it. I don't know if it was 10 minutes or 2 days. I can't get into that argument with you. But I know it was in the same chapter. So I don't know how much time went in there. You know what I mean? That's all I know. You know? So he did it again. He said it and he proved it. He spoke it. It happens. He is the light of the world. He wants you to know him as the bread of life. You know, like I think of bread we eat, your work, whatever it may be, your work, whatever it is, right? He's supplying that. So you can feed your family. So you can have those things. That's his hand, right? We want to think that I made a great decision and went and did. When I started realizing that I could speak, you know, like, and let the Father speak within you, right? And he started using that as a daily principle. Man, it lightens things up a little bit. You know, I'm trusting in him to get, I'll make the right decision on this job. Oh, I'll take that one. No, I don't want that one. I better go here. You know what I mean? You start making right choices because your eyes are opened because he's doing it. He's actually with us. He's not a far off God. God said it. It is so. Christ said it and it happens, right? Jesus said, I already did that one. I am the light of the world. All right, a couple more. Jesus says, I am the door. Now he's the doorway. He's your light. He's your bread. He's sprung up in you. Now he's the door. And this door swings. I always like Obed Edom. You know, he got to open the door, you know, in the Old Testament for people to go into the temple after God had rested in his yard. That's a great story. But here he is. I am the door, right? Go in and out, it says. And that's in John 10. Go in and out. Find good pasture. In and out. So I started chasing and finding out how much area sheep needed to graze. Right? 6 sheep need a half acre. They can live good on a half acre. 100 sheep needs 30 acres. So think of all the sheep. Look at all the pasture land worldwide. It's all his. It's all his pasture. His domain. You know what I mean? The door swings. Wherever you go during the day, somebody needs to see Christ. Somebody needs to know. And I don't mean you got to go in there screaming. It's the way you react when something happens. I got aggravated with Gavin yesterday and threw the fishing pole in the pond. That's how peaceful I am. I did. I got aggravated. I got all tangled up, man. I'm like, here I am talking to him about this stuff, being in peace and harmony. I just threw the pole in the pond, right? I'm just telling you, that's what I do. See, that quick. And then I got, man, what an idiot. How can you do that stuff? You know what I mean? You're reading it and doing it, and then there you are, right? And I said, that's why you trust in Christ. He would help you untwine. Because I just got done untangling them, and he tangled them right back up. You know, and so that's not a good excuse, but that's why I did it, right? And so I'm trying to explain to him about this stuff. I'm talking to Gavin. Gavin gets this stuff when we're out fishing. I'm not just hanging out with him. I'm telling this little 8-year-old kid, Christ is the answer. He's the one. That's right. Pup-Pup would tell you that. Pup-Pup lived in peace. Funny, isn't it? The door, swinging, in and out, going good pasture. Look at all the places you go and graze. So you're grazing. He's giving you the light. He's feeding you. He's turning all the stuff on. The lights change in you. You don't mind being a sheep. You know, you're like, God is leading me, right? And you're doing all this. And you're hanging out. You're doing all the stuff in the world. You're going all around. All the people you meet. And I'm working with some people right now that I know why I'm there. And they're old friends of mine. We're having a blast. Door swinging that way. I'm grazing. I'm walking around. Where's my opportunity? How can I point them to the light? How can they see a difference in me? I'm asking those questions to myself quietly. You know, can I see that, right? God said it is so. You know, we can do these things, and God spoke, Christ speaks. And then you find yourself, you're in there grazing, and what happens next? You realize Christ says what? I am the good shepherd. Man. He's given me light. He's given me pasture. He's given me this. He's done that. I don't even have to worry about it. He's the good shepherd. I'm just grazing along, right? Oh, wow. I got it. Right? And then why I say that? What's a good shepherd do? Lay his life down for his sheep. Right? He didn't just say it. What? He did it again. He did it again. He hung himself. He got hung on the cross. Got beat, spit on, beaten for me. For every one of you, he did it. He's the good shepherd. He said, I'll lay my life down for you. And he didn't just say it. He did it. He was sent from heaven for that relationship. I don't know if this one has it on. I thought I had it right there, but I don't. And for that relationship between you and me. That's what he wants. He wants a relationship. Now, my friends that I'm working with, that's what Christ wants. Just live it. Go in there. Do your job. Do it as best you can. Make it as perfect as you can get it done. That'll show him Christ. Don't worry about so much about what I'm saying. He's the good shepherd. I'm grazing. They're going to come along and start grazing one day. There's no doubt in my mind. Might not be tomorrow. Might not be next week. But they're going to be. Because what? Christ is in us. The light's shining. They know there's a different Rick. They know. I don't have to say it. He's the bread. He didn't just say it. He delivered. This is great shepherd. He didn't just say it. He delivered. You see, Christ is doing it. You want to be separate from the... You want to know what's going on in the world? You hear all this nonsense over here? This is truth over here. You don't have to believe it. But I do. And that's what's so good about it. Because I believe it, because it's changed my life. That's not, you know, it's not like you don't get to do anything. Get out of that thing, I repent, I can't live, I got to be a boring Christian. It's not true. Absolutely not my case. It's not true. I meet so many good people. I get to talk to Keith Wilhelm every once in a while. Poor guy. He can't wait for me to leave. Yeah, Rick. Yeah. Oh, man. I'm almost done. Are we good? You getting it? You understand it? You see it? He wants you to know, man. He's everything. He's it all. He wants a relationship with every single person in here. We become sheep. When that door swings open, might not be exactly where you want to be, but keep asking. Right? Keep asking, is this the right way? The door swung. The door swings in. I like that it says, and out. You're just not trapped in one spot. It's wide open. It's for everybody. Come on in. Come on in. He wants to meet you where you are. All you got to do is say, Lord, I'm sorry. I repent of my sin. You know? And I want to do one more, and I promise that'll be the last one. In John 11:25, it's where Jesus is talking to Martha, Lazarus' sister. Is that right? And he's talking to her, and they're going to the tomb, I guess. And he says, I am the resurrection. You hear that, old buddy? Huh? He says, oh, you're about done, I hope. Nah, he's cool. He likes me. He says, I am the resurrection. I am the life. This is Christ speaking, right? He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Now, we know he's going to go over and yell to Lazarus, and he's going to come out. Christ said it. It happens once again, right? But, and he said that right after that, verse 26, whoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. So we believe in Christ. It's about eternal life, and we'll live forever and all those, right? And then he asked her. What's he ask her? Do you believe this? Do you believe what I'm telling you this morning? That he's the great I am? That he is the one? You know, when you're struggling. I mean, we've got some struggle stuff going on out here. I'm not going to get into it. I'm tired of hearing about it. I want to hear some good news, man. Seriously. I'm not even kidding when I say that. It's a mess, man. You know what I mean? Just hang in there, look good, smile, right? Talk to people, be friendly. I don't care what their background is. I don't care anymore. It doesn't matter to me, right? Because we have something to offer, right? Because here's what it is. Do you believe that Christ is the great I am? Do you believe it? Do you believe that he is the life of the world? Do you believe it? Do you believe that he is the light of the world? Do you believe it? Do you believe he is the resurrection? Do you believe he is the door? And do you know him as your good shepherd? Do you know him? I am the beginning and the end. Believe in Christ. Christ wants a relationship with every one of us. Every single one of us. He will free us from this world. You can be in it. And also be free from it. He wants you to know that. Because he is the provider, right, Doug? He's the bread of our life, isn't he? He's the one. See, we just need to encourage that. See, because this is a Charles Baker statement. Edify and build up the body. Right? Build one another up. Come together, build one another up. Help one another. You know, it's discouraging times. Keep saying, nah, Christ is the way. You know, don't give up on that kind. You know what I mean? How'd you get to where you are? You can look back in our lives, can't we, Patsy? We can look back and we see where he's got us some stuff we shouldn't have been pulled through. We've talked about it. We've seen his hand way back then, man. I'll kid you not. So then you stand here and go, yeah, I believe. Absolutely believe. Trust in him. He will set us free. God said it. It is so. Christ said it. It is so. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you that you are everything to us. We thank you that we can count on you. Yes. That we can just live our lives and somehow you're going to shine through. because you are the true light that we all need. We thank you that we can point people to you. In Christ's name, amen.